What a beautiful day for all of those watching out of state. You're missing quite a spectacle of winter. It's beautiful. Again, I cannot emphasize enough just the teamwork of this church. That just does our heart proud. Everybody putting their heart and soul into getting this church prepared for us to come. Again, I say thank you. As I was preparing in this message, I knew that Jennifer and I would be gone. Pastor Jim's gone, so I really worked on this well over a week ago. And I was just thinking, what would be a decent message for us today? And I think just looking at what we've been through in the last year and a half, we look at the world today and even the stories in the news of pending ungodly heating costs that are looming this winter, I couldn't help but think of the shadow imagery of the 23rd Psalm. This psalm alone could probably produce 10, 15 different types of sermons, because I really love that imagery of a loving father through his son Jesus as the great shepherd. Especially when he says, he makes me lie down. Many of you have raised sheep and know that the only time you really actually will see sheep lie down is when they're completely satisfied. So what a beautiful imagery to think that God's great love, his care, his mercy is satisfying. That we can lie down and just be at his feet like Mary, who sat at the feet of Christ and just absorbed the love of a father, of a savior. So we're going to look at that today in the context of shadows and the imagery of what that is, along with some other bits and pieces of this great psalm that a lot of people have turned to in their time of desperation. Even some of the most ungodly, non-religious people know about this psalm, and they have quoted it many times themselves. So let's read that in the New King James Version, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Many of you know Martin Luther, the great German theologian and priest. I like what he had to say about the 23rd Psalm. He said, faith is a matter of personal pronouns. In other words, it's one thing to say the Lord is a shepherd, but quite another thing to be able to say that the Lord is my shepherd. I think the image of the shepherd has provided us with many loving and protective images of caregiving. Just the word itself, shepherd, carries with it thoughts of security, attention, provision for those under the care of the watch of a shepherd. And whether someone's a Christian or not, as I said, the 23rd Psalm has been that go-to source of comfort for so many people over the ages, during those uncertain times, those challenging and dark times of living life in the shadows of this fallen world. And that's the whole reason, one of the main reasons why David wrote this particular psalm in the first place. He was in a very troubled time in his own life. He needed to remind himself that God is with him, not only as the Almighty, but as Father, as Lord and King. He needed to remind himself that God is still there with him. After all, look at the situation he was in when he wrote this psalm. Here he is, of all people, the king. You know, and you'd think being the king, he would have no problems. But yes, he was living in exile. He was a runaway king, living in fear, running for his life. Why was he running for his life? Why was the king in so much trouble? Well, he was in trouble and in fear of his, of all people, his own flesh and blood. His son, Absalom, was passionate with trying to find his father, to track him down, to kill him, and to take the throne. So we, like David, sometimes can find that we have such dark shadows. And that's why the 23rd Psalm, we too can find relief and comfort in just remembering through the imagery of what's in this psalm, just how great God's love is for us. Because it's an incredible joy for us to know that if God is with us in these shadows in the valley of death, then he will also be God enough and to care enough to be with us, even amongst all these scattered remnants of just everyday living. The psalmist describes a God who leads, who restores, and guides. And he does it in two unique and distinct ways. He does it with his rod and with his staff. What David is reminding us in the 23rd Psalm is that God's comforting presence is there, but also right there with it is his divine protection. He's telling us as the believer that we will never ever be in a situation that the Lord is not aware of, because he's already promised us, not only in the Old Testament but quickly in the New, he's never going to abandon us. He's never going to leave us on the side of the road for dead. Hebrews 13 verse 5 is very clear. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He does that two distinct ways. First, the rod, kind of like a nightclub. You see your police officers still wear the little billy club on the side of the belt, this nightstick. This rod is more defensive. It's a defensive weapon, but it's not for the sheep. It's for what comes against the sheep, thieves, wild animals that posed a threat to the sheep. So this was not only defensive, but it was protective to keep the sheep safe from other things. And then there was the staff. Much of us are very familiar with the staff, like a broom with the big hook on the end. We see that a lot in our Christmas plays and pictures of shepherds. This is the staff. This is more of a catch kind of protective measure. It is made to fit over the torso of the sheep so they can hook and pull. This is to stop them when they're nearing danger. It's to keep the sheep from heading off in the wrong direction. It's to keep them safe from wandering away. So the staff, unlike the rod, is there, yes, for protection, but it's to keep the sheep safe from, of all things, from themselves, to protect the sheep from themselves. Because like the sheep, we wander away a lot, don't we? So this comforting imagery that we see of the sheep, of the shepherd, was simply by David to give us the assurance of God's constant vigilance his personal presence, the strong defense and personal involvement in the very lives of the sheep he's caring for. So this description provides for us one of the greatest blessings, which is to know that as the sheep of the fold of Christ Jesus, we will never find ourselves in a situation where the Lord is not present with us or standing there in presence, fully aware of what is going on in our lives. And that's why we can confidently add to Hebrews 13, verse 5, that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now we can add verse 6, which says, the Lord is my helper, so I will not be afraid. There's that imagery of not fearing evil. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? It's a question. So we can take the good news with us today in the imagery of the 23rd Psalm by just simply remembering and reminding ourselves once again that God is always with us. Nothing, no matter how dark and backwards it may be, how fearful it may be, nothing escapes his watchful presence. He'll never be caught off guard. He'll never be caught by surprise. God is a loving father. He's ever vigilant, ever attentive. So just like these sheep in the Psalm of 23, maybe we found ourselves walking just like those shadows that the sheep were found in a time or two. Because the Hebrew imagery, this is where the historical context comes in. It's kind of fun to go back and read historically what the Hebrews thought of things like this. And the image of the shadow in this psalm is talking about total pitch black darkness. In fact, the darkness where you can't even see your hand in front of your face. Because the true meaning of the shadow in this particular context that David is writing, the shadow of death in verse 4 should actually be translated deep darkness, or you can even use deadly gloom. It's speaking not just of physical mortal death, the transition of leaving this earth, dying, but it's talking about those dark places in life when life just seems like the light's gone out and we can't see at the hand in front of our face. It's saying because the shepherd is there, despite what you're experiencing, he's saying you can look up and you can face those perilous times. You can even face your own physical death. And even Satan and evil itself, all because of this psalm assuring us of the Savior's presence, God's presence with us in every single one of those situations. And that's why David could boldly proclaim with an exclamation point, I will fear no evil. Because the Hebrew word for evil is a broad term for any kind of harm, any type of danger, any type of situation that could come against a child of God. It's a broad term that God our Father is giving us absolute 100% confidence, assurance that we don't have to fear anything this world dishes out to us. No matter if it's of our own doing, if it's someone else's doing, or we just get caught up in this world being as sinful as it is, nothing. We have the assurance that we don't have to fear any of that or be afraid. Why? Because we have a shepherd with a rod and with a staff and his great love watching over us in those situations. The same was true for the sheep of David's flock. The sheep frequently had to go through the hardest, darkest, roughest terrain in order to get to those green pastures. Yes, the lowest parts of the valley, the most rugged, the most dangerous, in order to get to what they truly needed. So what did they have to do? They just simply had to back off, get in line with the shepherd, trust him, trust the shepherds whose presence trumped all their fears, broke their temptation to cut out, scatter and run in a state of panic or confusion. Yes, this dark valley of the shadow represents the threat of death, but it also represents those darkest and deepest sinful and evil times that come upon our lives. The darkness of evil portrays the other side of reality, that we have to admit that even though we are Christians and have given our life to Christ, life is still not going to be easy, and sometimes, no, it isn't fair. But no matter what it is at the moment, we have this assurance from the shepherd that he will be with us through it. The pastures, yes, they are sometimes black and barren instead of green. Yes, the waters are muddied and sometimes deep and torrential instead of peaceful and easy to drink. But regardless of what type of situation David found himself to be in, he found the ability, that's why he wrote this psalm, to know that God, his Father, was with him through it all. So how do we know that? How do you prove that, yes, God didn't just leave him for dead in the valley? Well, we know that God was with him because he was talking directly to God when he was in the shadows of the valley. So here's where we kind of put on the teacher's hat and go to class and open up our English books and turn to the pages of grammar that teach us about this poem that David has written. Because if you go back and read the first half, he's speaking in third person. You may say, well, whoop-de-doo, what's that have to do with the psalm? Well, look at third person. He's saying, he makes me lie down. He leads me. He will refresh. He's talking about God in the third person. But when it gets down and ugly, when life is hard, when life says, you know, my son's trying to kill me, I need to run and hide, when life is just dark and I can't see that hand before my face, when he gets into the darkness of the shadows, he changes the tense. He changes to second person. He says, you are with me. David has been speaking up to this point about God, but now he's in the valley, and guess who's there? He can speak directly. He's speaking directly to God because he finally realized, in this situation, you're right here with me. I can speak directly to you. And although it's not in the text, the best way to know that God was there is, well, because of the shadow. And you think, well, how is that? Well, it's just simply asking what needs to be present in order for a shadow to be cast. The obvious answer, light. Light needs to be present in order to cast a shadow from the object. What David is saying is that God, the Almighty, is our light through the presence of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the shepherd. He's speaking in the 23rd Psalm. You see, this light was David's comfort when he walked in the shadows. It's this promise even Moses could take with him into the wilderness. Exodus 33, verse 14. My presence will go with you, as God speaking to Moses, and I will give you rest. God even made the same promise to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. God said to Jacob, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And God also said to Joshua, Joshua 1, verse 5, we all know this one. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. To the entire nation, even to a group of people The nation of Israel, God promised through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 41, verses 10 and chapter 43, verse 2. God said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." And last but not least, he makes even the promise to you, to us. Matthew 28, verse 20. "Surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." So as we leave here today, knowing that the great shepherd is with us, to remind us that God has not only love and compassion for us, but he also offers great care to us. God, as your Father, is the able protector, but also a capable director. And he's also the abundant provider and the sure sustainer. The good news of the 23rd Psalm and the imagery of the shadows is to say to us, no matter what we see on TV going on in this world, what has happened in the past, what we project seeing coming in the future, we don't have to fear that, do we? Isn't that comforting, knowing that it's got nothing on us? Yeah, it's a little anxious to know what's coming or what to see what is happening. But to not have to worry about fearing it and to come completely dismantled and unsure and afraid of this world, it's comforting to know we don't even have to go there. We never need to fear evil ever again, because it is good to know that as intimidating as the evil in this world can be, there's going to be nothing, zero. There is absolutely nothing that you will ever face that will intimidate your shepherd. That's why we rejoice, don't we? We rejoice with relief that our past, anything that has ever happened, anything we've ever done to ourselves, doesn't matter what has taken place, what others have even done to us. It doesn't matter. Our past does not define the future. The shepherd defines it if we're willing to follow him out of these things, out of this shadow. Nothing in this life is ever so powerful enough to overcome God's will for you. I hate to crush your thoughts on this, but you're just not strong enough. There's nothing you can do to disrupt what God has planned for you. No mistakes, no decisions, no things that have played out in your life, even things that you had no control over. None of these things can thwart what the shepherd is leading you to, his will for your life. Even when issues are even of our own doing, I call that kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. Even if we did it ourselves and we kind of paid a little price for that, the gentle shepherd has that staff to help pull you from those situations. That's what I like beyond just the rod, but that staff that pulls me out of my own stupid mistakes and stupid foibles of life. He pulls me out with his staff to work victoriously, to constantly draw me back, not just to him, but closer to him. We no longer need to fear our own physical death either. I know that's not a pleasant subject. No one likes to think about dying, do we? But death for us really has no more terror or fear or darkness over us, all because of Jesus. We know that dying truly means for us being with him for all eternity. That's why we say victoriously at every funeral, at any homegoing, O death, where is your victory? You don't have it. Death is not victorious. Christ, who overcame death, is victorious. Jesus took away the sting of death. Therefore, the worst thing that death can do to us, if you really honestly, truly think this through, the worst thing that death can do to us is really honestly the best thing that can happen to us. This is the whole reason Paul could boast in Philippians 3, verse 1. For me to die, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And that gain, what he's basically saying is, to die is actually the better option. To stay here on this earth or to go and to be with Christ and be with Jesus forever, they don't compare. It's a no-brainer to be with Christ. Jesus Christ has seen it all and has soundly defeated every form of wickedness. There is no shadow that he has not graced his presence in. I'll say it again, evil will never catch him by surprise. He'll never be asleep at the switch. He'll never be a day late or a dollar short. Your shepherd is always prepared. He always knows exactly when and where you are going to experience these shadows. He's prepared and ready to unleash his shepherding rod and staff in your given situation. So here's the key of the message today. If you truly want to experience this amazing attribute of shepherding of Jesus in your life, of the 23rd Psalm, here's the key. You must first know him as Lord and Savior and the author of salvation. You need to place your absolute and undivided trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Because no Savior, N-O, no Savior, then no Jesus. No Jesus, then, well, no shepherd. For without Jesus, you cannot inherit the promises of the Psalm's ending. Did you catch what was said there by David at the very end? For those who have found Christ as shepherd and as Savior, he said, surely goodness and mercy will what? Follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is our key. If you want to know the shepherd, then you need to know the Christ who is the shepherd, Jesus, the Son of the living God. We must surrender to Jesus fully to be our good shepherd. It's by faith, it's trust, and just knowing by faith that Christ truly knows the exact way through our valleys, all our routes, the way our life is going, the way God has planned for you, his will for your life, those paths were all different. But as he leads you on your distinct path, it's trusting that the shepherd knows the exact way to go for you. He knows the journey that he has planned for your life. He has the plan with that rod and with that staff to see you safely through if you're willing and will make the choice. It's free will. You have to choose. It's not automatic. But if you determine within your life to live and to follow Christ, he will show you the way. Just remember, you are not left alone to fend for yourself in this world. He will never, ever drop you off on the side of the road for dead. Yes, we will go through shadows and shadows of death. But when we do so, we do the journey through because we know that we have a shepherd who loves us passionately, who cares for us unwaveringly, who provides for us, guides us, protects us, watching us with a rod and with a staff. All the time, 24/7, 365 for the rest of our life on this earth. Jesus is that good shepherd. He wants, he invites, he would love for you to follow him and to walk with him and to be with him forever. So if you want him as shepherd first, see to it that he is first Savior, and then he will be your shepherd for life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm that David wrote. I personally cannot fathom being on the run as a king, fearing an assassination attempt from his very own son. None of us probably even know what that's like, but Father, we know that there's no situation. Anything we experience in life, whether it's not our fault, something we did to ourselves, maybe we just get caught up in other things of this world. This world is hard. With Jesus, I can't even imagine how much it must be without. So, Father, through the shadows, through the valley, we know that your great care for us, your love for us, you will see us through if we will follow. So like a gentle shepherd, Savior, lead us. Lead us to the Father, to the kingdom. Give us power and authority over this world as you have promised in your word, because surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the rest of the days of our life. So we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.